Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Harris here on the microphone. You hear me? Welcome to the Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're broadcasting here out of West Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno. And we have a guest on tonight, a man who I highly respect, a brother who speaks truth to power. He has his own podcast, went to Edison High School, E.T., Edison Tigers in the house, and, you know, just an honor to have him on our show tonight. You know, this is, what is this month? January. Wow. January the 9th, 2023. Wow. We're here, y'all. We're here, y'all. A lot has happened in the past before January 9th, 2023. A lot of us have crossed over to the other side. We still have political leaders in prison. We're still trying to build consciousness amongst our people. You know, we still got a lot of walking dead black folks walking around, especially here in Fresno, better known as Mississippi Fresno. You know that this week the city of Fresno is putting on the MLK events. Which that's a whole nother topic for me to talk about. I won't get into that topic tonight, but pretty sure a lot of y'all be going and, you know, seeing what they're doing and all that good stuff. So I'll keep it clean tonight, but I'm going to talk about it on the show. The manipulation of Dr. King, the manipulation of Dr. King, how we allowed this country to take him, take his legacy and turn it into some kind of milk toast marshmallow conversation. But like I said, you know, we're going to have a show on that pretty soon. I believe his birthday is on the, Dr. King's birthday is on the 16th. So Fresno will be marching and they'll be eating, giving out awards, and you know, all the police departments from all over the valley will be there taking pictures, snapshots, and all that stuff, right? All the politicians will be talking. They'll be in front of the line holding Dr. King's sign, talking about I had a dream. This dream was a nightmare. But anyway, we won't get into that right now, so I'll hit hard with that later on. But we just rocking and rolling tonight, rolling and rocking. Not hitting too hard tonight. You know, we just want to give a shout out to Crystal Joyce, who's on the line with us, Facebook Live, with the We Movement, My Testimony in the House. We have moved her as of tonight, moved her My Testimony to Thursdays at 12 to 12:30, a prayer at Free AME during our food giveaway. And I think that's the right time to do that. Maybe some people who may be struggling, who may be going through something, may want to come in and pray. There's nothing wrong with prayer, you know. It's free. You can get a lot out of it, you know. Self-motivation. And we just appreciate her and her her vision that she has for this community. I also want to thank our other freedom fighter, Allie Reed, who's another woman. You know, let me say this about it. I'm glad I'm saying the women right now. Because, you know, I've been listening to some documentaries here this week. And our women don't get enough credit, y'all. I'm going to have to be honest with you. The movements and things that I have seen them do, just watching YouTube, they don't get enough credit. And so I'm saluting the women tonight, you know, for all that they do. I'm going to continue to do. I know it's not easy. They have to deal with a lot of sexism by these guys, these dudes. But you still hold it down. And I just want to let you know, I appreciate you, all that you do. You know, can't thank you enough for all that you've done. I mean, I have mentors. You know, Aline, she mentors me. Crystal, she mentored me, you know, and it's just a blessing to have those type of women around you, you know, each and every day. But this is the beginning of the year. You know, we start the Bob Marley off, One Love, and I believe that takes us right into our who we're going to interview tonight. You can see on the, you can go to my Facebook, there are some rolling pictures. As you can see, the person, Tony Bullock, who I'm going to interview tonight, and he's going to be talking about the Black Panther Party in the 1960s, a time where we as a culture of people was on the rise, and then all of a sudden Ronald Reagan came in and just put his iron foot on black people here in California. It was deliberately done. It was intentionally done to assassinate the Black Panther Party, the food program. And I know he's going to touch on all this, so I'm just giving you some framework on what our brother is going to be talking about. The food program we have now was created by the Black Panther Party. The lunch program, breakfast program, 10-point platform was created by the Black Panther. You know, and they created the blueprint for us as a people. But are we following that blueprint today? You know, I mean, we have black folks don't even know they black. That's the sad part, especially here in Fresno. We spend more time trying to be like white folk instead of trying to be our darn selves. And it's just ridiculous. You know, I'm going to leave that topic alone because I can get in trouble by some of our black women, right? I tell all our black women, y'all are beautiful as it is. I don't know why y'all be doing all this Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone because I have a whole lot of women coming in. And so I'm going to leave the extensions alone. I'm going to leave the eyelashes alone. I'm going to leave the implants alone. All I'm going to tell you is you're beautiful just like you are. All right, here we go. All right. We're going to have this caller come in first, and we're going to bring in our main speaker for the night, 5172. Welcome to Dr. L's Black Lives Matter show. We rocking and rolling and rocking. What you got to say tonight?
I am just, this is Aline Reed, and I'm just excited to be listening to this show with my my partner in crime, Tony Bullock. He and I were both living in the Bay Area at the same time. So I was in San Francisco and he was in Oakland. So I'm just interested in what the brother has to say. And for everybody who's listening to this show, please believe when he says it, this is how it happened, because he and I have compared notes about this before. So I'm excited about this show, and I know it's going to be a good one. So I'm here to listen. I'm here to listen.
All right. We're going to save the best for last. This brother needs no introduction. He's known around the world, from Japan, Italy, Germany, Egypt. We're going to bring him on the line right now, all the way from Fresno, California. Took me down to Oakland and showed me where he used to stay at. I mean, that was just a beautiful thing, just to see this brother go back home and know his roots, and then bring it back to Mississippi, Fresno. Here we go. Good evening, there on live stream. Please share this show. We're live streaming right now, live across the world. I know there's more people listening right now. I don't see your name, but I know you're listening every time I come on the air. And we're going to bring our number one man on, 3205. Welcome to Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. Welcome, sir, tonight. You got the flow.
Good evening.
Hey, my
Hopefully
brother.
Everybody was staying dry and doing what they need to do. This is your brother, Tony Bullock. I'm from the U, 900 block. Been on the west side since we moved to Fresno.
Right.
I can tell you honestly, it has been a blessing and it has been a challenge, because those of us who grew up on the west side know what the golden west side went through. In between the time before we came to Fresno, we lived in Oakland. And that's the story that we will get into in a little while. But shout out to my sister, Aline Reed, my partner in crime, my ride or die. Because just like me, she knows how it went down in the Bay. She was there. See, that's while I was over in the East Bay, she was up in the North Bay.
Right.
And see, when they started the breakfast program in Oakland, California, over at St. Augustine's, they also started one at Sacred Heart in San Francisco.
Right.
See, the brothers had a plan. And we will definitely get into that. Pastor, I would like to appreciate and thank you for bringing me on tonight, for wanting to talk about a subject such as this, because a lot of times people overlook our own history, something that we ought to be getting deeper and deeper into. And
right.
Today's youth need to understand it's just not about rappers and basketball players and football players. Like we say in church, study to show yourself approved. It's time for y'all to learn y'all true history, to find
That's
out
right.
what our people have gone through in this country, both
That's
good
right.
and bad.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
So, Pat,
if you have your girl,
what
Crystal,
y'all want to start out today? Who else we got?
You got your girl, Crystal Joyce, on the line, too, live streaming with you tonight.
Ah, Sister Crystal Joyce. And you know what? My testimony is a very beautiful thing. I'm going to tell you, as a brother who has sat in with her at my testimony,
right.
it's a great thing to have a black woman out there leading prayer for those who really need it and may not realize they need it.
Right.
It is a beautiful thing knowing that there's somebody out there who will stand in the stead for you.
Right.
I want to thank that sister for stepping forth and putting herself out there like that, because it's not an easy journey.
Right.
So let's dive into it, Pastor.
Yeah, let's dive into this thing here. You want to call in, call in to 516-453-9086. That's 516-453-9086. You may have a question or you just may want to listen on the phone. It's up to you. I'll put the number on the live stream. Crystal said, thank you. You got the flow. You start wherever you want to start, my brother.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off like this. When we moved to Fresno, by the time I was in the sixth grade, my great uncle had a rule. My parents had moved to Fresno, but his rule was summertime, I came back to Oakland. My grandmother in Oakland, that was her rule. Summertime, I came back to Oakland, which I can be honest with you, I live for, because whenever I went to Oakland, I always knew there was going to be an adventure involved, and it was something that was going to go on that I was going to learn from. Now, my grandmother lived on a beautiful little street called Athens off of San Pablo. And my sister and I could get off the bus at the Greyhound bus station, walk those five blocks, make that left turn, walk to the middle of the block, and be in front of my grandmother's house. I made some good friends in that neighborhood, and because of these friends, I learned of the Black Panther Party, because a good friend of mine's older brother was a member. And one day we were all hanging out in the neighborhood, and he rolled up and went, you know, it's going to be a breakfast program tomorrow. I'm going to need y'all to be there. And we was like, hey, man, it's summertime. What are you talking about? He said, trust me on this. You're going to want to be there. Now, back in the day, when older kids told you something, you listened. Why? They were older than you. Therefore, they had their eye on the ball. First time I went to the breakfast program, and this was the end of the summer. The summer had just started in 69. Boom, there we were. Doors open. There was a brother, four women, and they were doing breakfast. And I can still tell you what the breakfast consisted of. Scrambled eggs, toast, pancakes, sausage, and grits.
Mm-hmm.
Milk and orange juice. Along with this, there were people who were reading to you from the Black Panther Party platform.
Hello.
And asking you questions about things that you might have had questions for. Like, what made you guys start doing this, or why are you doing this? And what is this Black Panther thing really about? Because the police tell us that you are bad people. And as we come to understand, they were far from bad. In fact, I can be real honest with you. When they started the breakfast program, first day they served 11 kids. By the end of the week, they were serving 135 daily. And the numbers increased. And if this wasn't kids, they served kids, seniors, men and women, whoever was hungry. And it just wasn't Black kids. They turned no one away.
See.
1968, Bobby Seale, along with Father Earl Neal and one of the parishioners over at St. Augustine, Ruth Beckford Smith, she was the program coordinator. She the one got it jumped off. She set the kitchen up. She made sure it passed health inspection so that the health inspectors couldn't come through there and mess with them. She got neighborhood mothers and mothers in the area to come in and fix food and help. And during school time, they actually had it set up to where kids got picked up, taken to the program to have breakfast, and then taken to their respective schools and dropped off for class. Along with that, just like we have Freedom School here in Fresno, they had Freedom School also, especially in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this happened in Oakland, Berkeley, San Francisco. It went down like that. It started out in one city, and by the end of the year, for the end of the term, it had spread to 12 counties and countless cities nationwide. Because the Black Panthers, being the organization that they were, what they started in Oakland, next thing you know, they were doing it in Seattle. They were doing it in Denver. They were doing it in L.A. They were doing it in Chicago. They were doing it in New York. And, of course, J. Edgar Hoover did not like that, because J. Edgar Hoover felt like that was the most dangerous thing that could happen. Why? Because when the success of the breakfast program jumped off, that meant the information was getting out in the neighborhood. He said that was the greatest threat to the internal security of the country, because the information was getting out. We were passing knowledge to other Black folks.
Well, Brother Tony, how are you a threat? But how are you a threat if you're helping? How are you a threat if you're helping yourself and your people?
But see, think about it. What was it all about back then? Remember, we were still coming out of segregation. We were still coming off the plantation and getting away from them farms in Texas and Arkansas. See, we were getting away from places like Florida, where we, generation after generation, had been raised on a farm to take care of that farm, to make sure them crops come in on that farm, to make sure that master got his work done. Now we were starting to pull away, get out there and find work out there on the economy on our own. We were building up our own community. We were no longer building up their community. See, therein lies your threat. When you start doing for self, and some of the evil things that the FBI did, they begin to raid different places where the breakfast programs were going on.
Tell it. Destroying.
They would run in there on little kids. They would run in there scaring folks, threatening to take people to jail. They were out there telling people that they were poisoning their kids with food. That food is poison. They're going to kill your kids. They raided many safe houses and many places where lunch programs were going on. In Berkeley, there was a spot off of Shattuck Avenue, one of the community centers. And the thing about Berkeley was the kids in Berkeley, you had Black kids, white kids, Oriental kids. You had that rainbow coalition. Because, see, quiet as it's kept, it just wasn't about Black folks. We also partnered with the Yellow Pearl, the Brown Berets, the Rainbow Coalition.
Come on.
We work with all them folks. And when you start to work and make inroads with people, people who had that mindset of this is the way it was, this is the way it's going to be, they got that George Wallace mentality. We're going to keep you in your place. And that's what it was all about. They were out there wanting to destroy everything that the Black Panthers were trying to put together, because what they were doing was trying to make the community understand we had a purpose, we had a sense. We were trying to build pride in our community. At the lunch programs, what came after that? Our survival programs. We came up with health clinics. Do you know that the Black Panthers were the first ones to come up with a clinic for sickle cell anemia?
That's right.
They also came up with ambulance services for the destitute and the needy, for the seniors. Because once upon a time, you just didn't call an ambulance to come get you. And they definitely did not come to the Black neighborhoods. But the Black Panthers saw to that happen. They formed their own ambulance service to make sure folks who were in need could get to emergency medical care. That march on Sacramento was all about freedom and the right to bear arms. Now, our governor at the time was so afraid, he partnered with that white caucus down there in Orange County, and that's how the NRA got formed. But see, what they didn't realize when they came up and wrote that law of taking weapons out of our hands, they took them out their own hands too.
Well, here's what I don't understand. And maybe you can help me get a better perspective, because I was born in 1970, so I missed all of it. So all I can go off is what I read, research, and listening to you and Aline, who was there. What I didn't understand was, how is it that some young Black college students, I believe they went to Berkeley, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and they seen a condition, they seen an ill and a sickness in their community, and they said, you know, we're going to do something about this. Now, I believe that a lot of their philosophy and ideology they got from Malcolm X. Now, here it is, Oakland, California was a highly populated location of Black folks that were poor and just, you know, trying to live better. And these young men and women came up, you know, Angela Davis and all of them came up with this 10-point platform. They didn't go to Ronald Reagan to get the 10-point platform. They didn't go to Bull Connor in Alabama, who shot down Black people with water hoses and sick dogs on our elders. The Black Panther Party didn't go to J. Edgar Hoover to build the 10-point platform. God himself gave them the knowledge to do for self or be a slave. And they understood history, and they understood the oppression that Black people were going through, watching Malcolm, watching Dr. King, watching Megan Edwards get shot in the back of the head when he put his key in the door in Mississippi with his little girls on the other side of the door and blew his brains out. See, and they watched Fannie Lou Hamer, you know, get beat in the jail just because she was a Black woman. The Black Panther Party seen all this stuff, seen, you know, how Black Wall Street was burnt down to the ground by the Ku Klux Klan and the U.S. government. They seen all this, and they said, you know what? Instead of us sitting up here whining and all that, let's do something about it. And that's what they did. They did something about it, but it came with a cost. And the cost was that the same government that we're dealing with today, which is the same government that assassinated all of them, we still have political prisoners, decided that there's an old saying, I don't know if you remember this, probably do, if you want to hide something, from a Negro put it in a book. A book
right.
binder was supposed to scare black folk. But the Black Panther Party said, no, we're not going to be scared of this book. We're going to read this book. And reading this book, and I'm using in reference, is the U.S. Constitution. And the U.S. Constitution said you have the right to bear arms. Now, if you're bearing arms for what? You're bearing arms to do what? Protect yourself. Protect your children. Protect your women. To protect your neighborhood. So there was nothing wrong with them standing outside their headquarters with a double-barrel shotgun. Because the U.S. Constitution, which black people had no space at the table to put their input in their U.S. Constitution. They wrote the U.S. Constitution. And when I say they, I'm talking about Brother George and all them so-called forefathers. They ain't none of my father of this wicked country. They wrote all that stuff. We just read what they wrote. And that's why Malcolm X said the worst thing that the white man could have ever did let him read his history book. And when we read their U.S. Constitution in California, U.S. and the laws of California, they said, we're going to bear arms. Then Reagan turns around with his sorry self, scary self, going to say, oh, no, you're not. No, I'm going to pass legislation so that you can't bear arms. Well, if we're the ones being shot down, if our black women are being shot down, our black children are being shot down, our Black Panther officers are being shot down, you give these crooked white cops guns and a badge to come and assassinate us, and we're saying, no, we're going to shoot back, then the rules change.
But you have to remember, the rules have always been favorable to them. Nothing about the slave catcher changed. Times just changed. Okay? Now, you were talking about how the party came together. Let me break this down to you. We have our original founders for the party. Elbert, Big Man Howard, Sherman Forte, Reggie Forte, Bobby Hutton, Huey Newton, and Bobby Seale. Now, you have to remember, a couple of them on that list, Huey, Newton, Bobby Seale, they had also been down south, had kicked it with Eldridge Cleaver now, Stokely Carmichael now, when they were part of the Student Nonviolence Act, when they were part of SNCC. When they all come back to Oakland and the guys that I just named off, when they all got together and decided, you know what? We tired of Oakland PD coming into the neighborhood beating on folks. We tired of Oakland PD coming into the neighborhood and taking advantage of these women. We tired of Oakland PD coming in here and robbing these black grocers and taking money for protection.
Oh.
It is time for us to form up, suit up, and gun up, and protect our own. And that's where the party came from. The words start going out to the high schools, Oakland Tech, McClymans. It started getting around. Merritt College, because I have to give some sisters some shout-outs. Sister Tarika Lewis, who was a student over at Oakland Tech. Sister Eleanor Barnes, who was a student over at Merritt. Both of them joined the party in 67. And then you know we had Sister Angela Davis. Sister Cleveland, women in the party did their share and did more than their share But that's what happened. They put the party together and didn't look back. And one of the biggest things was when that breakfast program came along, that opened up brand new avenues. For example, like I said, as a little guy, especially 71, 72, summers, we were out there selling those papers for the Panthers, up and down the boulevard. Police couldn't really say nothing, and they really couldn't do nothing because they may not have liked it, and they may have got upset of that picture of the pig on there.
With the flies.
But they couldn't touch us. Because, see, somebody was sitting back in the cut watching them watch us. So make a move if you want to. There was a time the Bay Area really was the catalyst for Black America. I had an aunt who taught at the University of Berkeley. And I remember as a kid, we used to go up on the campus and go to the backside of the campus at Sather Gate off of Telegraph. Because you would go to Sather Gate and you would see somebody out there speaking their piece. It might be Angela Davis. It might be Huey Newton. It might be Timothy Leary. The University of Berkeley was that spot. And a lot of people don't realize how much Black history came through there. And even though they may not talk about it, you had big-time Black folks come through there. Because you could go there, speak your piece, and that was that. You know, Pastor, you were saying you wonder why a lot of young Black folks today don't get it. They don't get it because they were never taught it. One of the things I'm very thankful for was the fact that I was able to spend my summers in Oakland with my folks and learn certain things, like going to the Black History Museum downtown. Even back in the day, we had it. But back in the day, we also had griots who sat in there, who you could tell them your last name, and they would start formulating your family history. Because I remember sitting there one time with an elderly sister who told me point blank the pass that my folks had taken from Meridian, Mississippi to Oakland, California.
Mm.
And she hit it right on point. From Meridian, from the Indian reservations to Oakland, California. She hit it right on point.
Well, let me ask you a question, Brother Tony. Those, you can call in to 516-453-9086, 516-453-9086. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We're talking with Tony Bullock, a brother who was in the Black Panther Party, still holding it down, still got his Atari, still got his information, his books, his flyers, his banners, and everything. Why is it that not taking anything away from the brother name I'm about to say, because he did a lot, but why is it that America, when it comes to us, Black folk, us, whatever you want to call yourself, African, Negro, whatever, why is it that America only promotes one of our Black heroes named Dr. King, but yet do not acknowledge anyone else? Was that intentionally done? I mean, because the work that the Black Panther Party did was just as important work as Dr. King did and Malcolm did and Megan Evers did. And I know, you know, back in Mississippi, they may have a street or a statue of Megan Evers. I think they do or whatever. But it just seems to me on the 16th, next Monday is Dr. King's birthday.
Right.
This city of Fresno puts on an entire week of events. People marching downtown, singing We Shall Overcome, which I don't know why, but they do. They locking arms. You walk around St. John, the police is blocking off the street. Now, you know, darn well, Dr. King ain't never had no police blocking off the street. But police blocking off the street, and they go to City Hall, and they have a big old microphone there with all these speakers, and then you have the congressmen there, all these city council people, the mayor, and Clovis police chief, and all these people who's been the problem is the one who's talking and leading the march. Now, how come none of our other brothers don't get the same type of love?
Now, do you want me to tell you the honest answer, or you want me to give you the politically correct answer? Because you know how I am.
I'm just asking the question. I'm trying to figure this out.
The politically correct answer. Because, see, I'm just going to tell you honestly. Dr. King, whatever memory we may hold for him, Dr. King has been gentrified.
Uh-huh.
Whether you want to believe it or not, Dr. King is the one hero that Black America had that all of a sudden white America had, Jewish America had, Italian America had. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just saying all of a sudden the man whose home was bugged by J. Edgar Hoover, all of a sudden he's the man. The man who supposedly cheated on his wife with every black woman he could find, all of a sudden became the man. Now, his death was very horrific. And in his death, a movement was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But as you just said, whenever his birthday rolled around, they all out there locking arms, singing, shedding a tear. And 24 hours later, they clubbing you over the head. See? They show you one thing, but they show you another. And that's just real talk.
You know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, Harris. I said, yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question. I said, sure, go ahead. They said, now, you know, I've been here a long time in Fresno. I said, yeah, I know. They said, but I noticed that a brother like you that's in the trenches, when something happened to our people, they ain't got to call you. You there on their doorstep. You speaking truth to power. You put your life on the line. He said, but I'm just curious. How come the MLK committee in the city of Fresno haven't recognized you for the work that you do for our people? Answer. I said, well, number one, I don't read no one's scripts. I said, number two, I don't do it to get recognition. I said, I don't do it to get proclamations. I said, I don't do it to get awards. I said, I do it because the ancestors said do it. I said, because our ancestors have been through more hell than we ever been through.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and
when you lose your perspective of who you are. I said, see, I don't compromise my principles. I said, that's one of the things that black folk do in Fred, because we want a reward. We want a pat on the back. We want to stand up before people so they can applaud. I said, that's not what this movement is about. I said, you think? I said, listen. I said, Malcolm and King both took a bullet. I said, Malcolm King and Megan Evers took a bullet. They both died by the enemy. I said, so, you know, if you're doing it for that reason, just say that. But you're not, a real freedom fighter. I said, because none of our ancestors who are real freedom fighters did it to get an award. No, I told my congregation, I told my children, I told everybody, I said, let me tell y'all something right now. When daddy is called on home to glory, you make sure, I don't want no proclamation, because if you can't give it to me right now where I can see it and feel it and read it, I don't need it. I said, I don't want no award. I said, if you can't give it to me right now where I can see it, feel it, and enjoy it, I don't need it. I said, but what I do want, as I want my red, black, and green flag. What I do want,
right,
is the Kwanzaa principles that I live by. What I do want is the black national anthem played. What I do want is all them little babies that I stood up for, which probably be adults. I said, that's all I want. I mean, why is it so important for us to get proclamations? I've never understood that.
The black, well, you know what?
Black Panther Party didn't get no proclamation. They got a damn bullet.
Exactly. And you know, you have some people that's important to them because they want to be noticed. But before we get deeper, now I want to run over this right quick. Off of the breakfast program, I'm going to run just 10 things by you that also went down. Although there's many more, but it's 10, I'm going to run 10 things down just to give you an idea of what also came off of this.
Right.
The Black Student Alliance, Child Development Centers, Consumer Education Classes, Community Health Classes, the East Oakland Center for Independent Living, the Community Pantry. You know what the Community Pantry was? Free food program. Disabled person services, transportation with an attendant. I'm going to say that again. Disabled person services, transportation with an attendant. Drug and alcohol awareness programs, free ambulance program, free bus into the prisons program. Of course, the drill team, and I can speak to that one myself. Free plumbing and maintenance programs, the free shoe program.
Yep.
GED classes, the GYN clinic, legal aid and education, praise the Lord. And one that's near and dear to my sister's heart, the Laney Experimental College Extension site.
Hello.
Police patrols, watch the folks who's watching us. I say it all the time. Nutritious classes and, of course, outreach prevention care. These are the things that we need to be doing now. These are the things we need to get back into.
So are you telling me that are you telling me that the Black Panther Party that we have been taught was people who carry guns and hate people, and it sounds like to me what you just read is about building community.
Hello.
Thank you. Nation. Very much. Yeah.
Building a nation. And see, Now, like I said, they worked with the Brown Berets. They worked with the Yellow Pearl. They worked with the Rainbow Coalition. See, that's why Fred Hampton was shot down, because they were making inroads. They were starting to make connections. They were starting to get something together that the status quo did not appreciate. We can't let them do that, because once they do it, we will never be able to control them. Mm-hmm. Take a look at your current Congress and see how things are happening. It's right before your face. Everything old is new again.
It's just sad to you know, live in a country that really present itself as a nation of you know, call it United States of America, which is United Snakes of America. I mean, our black men and women fought in every war and didn't even have the right to vote, but we fought in their wars. The red tailmen, the Air Force, saved they behind in the air. They didn't even know who they were. We were the best at everything we did. And every time we become the best at what we do, the rules change, and then we become assassinated. And there's one thing in America that I know for sure. If you're a black man and you stand up in this country, this nation, United Snakes of America, you're enemy number one. And they're coming to kill you.
Oh, that goes without saying.
They're coming to kill you. But as long as you buck dance and live in Master House, you okay. You okay. But for those of
you
us,
know,
our people.
And you know, I've said this to you many times. It amazes me how when you get ready to go speak out on something, those of us that support you. But what always gets me is there are many other ministers who ought to be standing there with you, but yet cannot be found. Oh, but when they need them out there at River Park, they out there, please don't come out there and attack this. Don't tear this up. y'all don't need to come out here like that. Now, why would you want to do that? You know, Jerry may call y'all. Y'all run for that dollar. But you're going to stand with your own. Amazing.
So it's clear tonight, Brother Tony, that you have explained very clear that the Black Panther Party was not a terrorist group.
None whatsoever.
A self-defense was only to protect themselves or children. The only reason they carried those guns because they got like Fannie Lou Hamer. They said, I'm tired of being sick and tired of y'all coming in here, shooting up our homes, shooting up our children, shooting. So we have the right to bear arms. We have the right to bear arms because we read your Constitution. And because you can't control us, we're going to change policy and legislation to say that you can't carry guns no more. But you never took the guns out the police hand who was killing us, shooting us.
Or the Klan.
Ain't that something? And then here it is, the day coming our community with bounce houses and hot dogs, patting our kids on the head and shoot them in the back when they're 15.
Because that's what they think we were, the bounce houses and hot dogs. And before we go tonight, I'm gonna give a shout out to my favorite Black Panther. That was Brother George Jackson.
That's right.
I seen that documentary. That was, man. Oh my God. The hell we have been through in this country as black people and still going through it. Do you know that every 25 years, see, this is what gets me. We built this country. We built this nation.
We built everything you see. Everything you touch, we built it. Our ancestors built it. Cell phone, elevator, golf tee, everything. Things on a car. We built every single freaking the refrigerator. Everything. The freezer box, the ironing comb, the thing you iron, the ironing board. We created everything. You hear me? Everything we created in this country and been treated like some dogs. Still being treated like some. You know what? Dogs get in the SPA get treated better than we do. Because, see, I don't know. How all this crack got in our neighborhood anyway.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know a black man, and maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe there's a big warehouse where black people go and make crack and dope and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And then all of a sudden, all these guns get rolled into Compton in a boxcar with ammunition.
Sure we do.
I don't know who would want to do a thing like that.
I can honestly tell you, brother at the Oakland Examiner spoke out on that very thing, and that man ain't been seen since.
Nope.
He wrote an expose story on the crack trade in East Oakland, California, and how all of a sudden it hit like wildfire. And he spoke of the CIA connection.
Mm.
And that man left for work one day and ain't been seen since.
This is true.
It's just sad, man. But, you know, we still have to lift our hats. We're about at the end of our show. We have to
our
hats and thank brothers like you and Sister Aline that are still here that can share that knowledge with the younger generation to talk about that 10-point platform. The blueprint is there. The blueprint is there. All we got to do is follow it. But we don't even want to follow it. It's free. Huh. You ain't got to pay for it. It's there. All you got to do is follow it. You know, if it was successful then, why would it be successful for us? We have to stop trying to integrate with everybody else.
Tell
do it. Our own thing. Everybody else doing their own thing. Why we can't do our own thing?
Exactly. We have got to stop the infighting and start working truly together.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, like I said, the best way, everybody, if you're not a reader, go to YouTube and just watch the documentaries. Watch the documentaries. See what they said. See what happened. You know, even on your show, Brother Tony, tonight, I didn't tell you, but I put a couple of YouTube links up there for the people who want to go look at some of the YouTube links on YouTube about the Black Panther Party. And, you know, it's very self-explanatory. You know, that, you know, what happened to them. And, you know.
Exactly. But not only that, talk to your elders. See, that's mm-hmm. the other side of the coin. Talk to your elders. There are people out there who got elders who know what went down. Mm-hmm. Talk to your folks.
That's true.
Right.
Learning starts at home.
Right. Well, Sister Aline, I'm going to give you some words before we go off the show tonight. I know you've been listening. I know you're probably having flashbacks of
what
you were saying and a lot of going down memory lane. And, you know, we thank you as a sister, and I'm not going to call you but we thank you. I know you're trying to climb in that category, but I ain't putting you there yet. You still got more work to do. That for you all to show me where you used to live at, the different streets and stuff like that was just, you know, I thank you for that. You know, I'll never forget that ride we took when we went to Oakland. And, you know, even here in West Fresno, I don't see anything monuments that's black anymore. And that's a sad thing, you know. But mm-hmm. at my ministry at Free AME, we're putting up pictures. We're putting up folks who are doing stuff that's alive today. We're going to be hanging a flagpole with a red, black, and green flag. We're going to be putting up, painting the Lord's Supper black in our social hall. Our kids told me that's what my kids told me that's what they wanted. They said, we want the Lord's Supper in the social hall. I was going to put it in the sanctuary. I said, well, Pastor, why are we going to put it in the sanctuary when they're eating? That's what we do in there, eat. I said, okay, brother, that's what y'all want to do. That's what we're going to do. And, you know, it's making them have ownership of things like that, you know, so that they can be proud. They can invite their friends. We got the Kwanzaa set up. We got our red, black, and green flag up. We play the Black National Anthem before we do anything there. To let folks know that this is who we are, and we don't have to pretend that we're someone else. We're not going to do that because no other culture does that. You know, the Hmongs is going to do their Hmong culture. The Hispanics is going to do their Hispanic culture. The Arabs are going to do their Arab culture. So why is it a problem when it comes to us that, you know, we're supposed to feel ashamed for, you know, our culture? Alan, give us some last words, and I'm going to give Brother Tony the last words, and we're going to, our show is about over.
Okay, I just, you know, it was hard for me not to jump in. I had to say a couple of amens, but I just wanted to say to Brother Tony, I wanted to ask him because I know he remembers this. Do you remember when law enforcement was trying to shut down the Panthers from going to Sacramento with their firearms?
Yes,
and they couldn't keep them contained in the area. Yes, yes, because that's the kind of brothers they were. I love my people. Unapologetically, and I say this every time Rev does a show, that I want all of y'all to stay black until we get back with you.
All right, Brother Tony, you got the last words.
Look here, I'm going to say what I always say. Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them set. Get them squared away. Get them legally registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. Everybody take care of their folks, and I'm a holler.
All right, there you have it, y'all. We thank everybody on live stream. Thank you, Brother John Roberts, for tuning in. I haven't seen you in a while. Brother, come over and visit me at 3 AME. It's going down up over there. We had a beautiful Kwanzaa event 2 days in a row, fashion show, soul train style. It was all about having fun. And we interviewed Brother Tony Bullock today and had a lot of folks on the live stream and watching today and listening and just dropping down some knowledge. And we got to do for self or be a slave. You know, stop trying to be like somebody else. Be like your ancestors. You know, your ancestors built Black Wall Street. What can you build today? And that's where we're at. Use our brain. Use our brain, man. And Creator would do the rest. All right, this is Dr. Harris, Freedom Fighter, 21st Century Revolutionary, no justice, no peace, power to the people whose streets are streets. This Porky Pig say, bleep, bleep, that's all, folks.
Thank you.
together and feel all right.
Come on, dear.
Let's get together to fight this holy I'm give you all one love. When the man comes, there will be no, no.
One love.
I'm keeping on the road. No chance is broken. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation.
Yeah, yeah.
One love.
What about the one?
One love.
What about the next?
Get together and feel alright.
I'm pleading to find
one love. One love.
Hello, good evening.